From KMUW Wichita.
From Toronto, Ontario.
And from Armenia, Spain.
This is You're Saying It Wrong. Let's talk words. Let's talk Welsh? Well, look, we're all going to do our best here. I'm Fletcher Powell, host and producer at KMUW in Wichita, Kansas, and joining me as they do each week, language experts and New York Times best-selling authors Kathy Petras and Ross Petras. Hi, Kathy. Hi, Ross. I am finally experiencing spring allergies here. We had a whole bunch of wind for a week or so, and it kicked up a bunch of stuff. Then a couple of thunderstorms, so everything's really growing. Hey, I'm sure you can't hear this, so I thought I'd just explain to you my
no condition. Idea what you're talking about, Fletcher. No idea.
I feel like I'm I don't know, got my head in a fishbowl or something. We have some listener emails to jump off with. Before we do that, something we have been remiss about is, can I say that? Remiss about? Something we haven't done that we should have done a while back, me particularly, is to say hi and welcome to our listeners on KMXT in Kodiak, Alaska. How about that? They've been with us for a couple of months now, and so I really apologize for not saying hi to you all. But we're happy to have you with us all the way up there in Alaska. Thanks for joining us here on Your
Saying It Wrong. My mother-in-law is in Alaska.
Is that right?
Not in Kodiak.
Not in Kodiak.
Yeah, she's in Kluwak.
All right. Well, hi to your mother-in-law, too. Anyway, thank you very much. We had a listener email that brought up a couple of different issues that you guys wanted to talk about.
Mm-hmm, we did. But before we start, can I say something that really hit me the other day? I was going on a site for some linguistic thing, and it did the standard, you know, are you a robot? And I had to click no. And I thought, who would have ever thought that I would commonly hear the words or write the words, are you a robot? And very commonly, I didn't even think about it. No, it's I'm not true. A robot. But I mean, like, when you think about it, whatever, before the internet age, I never would have predicted those words would ever be, you know, written or said to me. And I calmly went, no, I'm not a robot, and then went on to the thing. I know I'm not a robot. Don't you? You know.
Don't you always have this perverse thing? I wish they had a yes. You go, yes, I'm a robot. Well, don't you? I always have that.
That's a good
one.
Like,
it's not there.
Well, if you were a robot, don't you think that you would say no? No, I'm not a robot. So how useful is that, really?
Yeah, you're right.
Good point.
Yeah, because the robot, it's true. Because if you are a robot, you still want to get on. Yeah.
I'm going to notice you guys a little more closely right now.
Yeah, actually, those questions are, I mean, they're done. I mean, they're obviously place filler because there's also a wine online that I look at. And it says, you know, please certify that you're over 18. And I go, yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But like,
right.
How do they know? You know?
Oh, they've got ways, Ross.
Oh,
trust
me.
Anywho, the email we're responding to is New York Tim, a.k.a., as he calls himself now, the OT, the original
right,
Tim,
yes.
To differentiate with those other Tims. And there were two things he brought up that we just wanted to comment on, because a while ago we did the euphemisms, and he said, euphemisms for bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I don't think you mentioned my favorite. We did not. Privy.
Mm-hmm.
But you can only use it in high-class places like a yacht club. My dear sir, would you be so good as to indicate to me the location of the privies? So Ross and I were like, yeah, we didn't talk about privies, which is shocking.
I didn't know the origin. I never really thought about it. I don't think it's really used that much anyway now, but I never thought about the origin. And Fletcher, let's see, can you guess what the origin is?
No, I always thought it had something to do with private, like it was just...
You got it.
Oh, okay.
I never thought of that. I guess I really... Did you, Kathy? No, Kath didn't either. We both
talked
about it.
No, I did not. I just thought privy. You know?
Yeah,
okay,
that's what
whatever.
I thought too. And it comes from the Latin privatus, which means private. Personal.
Yeah. Did you get any other emails? I got at least one other email about privy.
No, we didn't get that other one. We were not emailed on privy.
Yes. Someone who did not seem to leave their name said when we were talking about toilets, it reminded them of a book called How to Build the Perfect Privy. And I feel like I got another one, but I can't find the other email. So if somebody else emailed me about privies, then I apologize.
I think we did get another, and I don't know what I did with it, since I'm supposed to be in doing things with them. I'm sorry, too. Uh-oh, I forgot all about it. I think it was the other week. Anyway, never mind, but it was a great email. I just want to tell you that, stranger. Yes. What got me with privy is I only think of it as like the toilet thing, but then I also thought, you know, I'm not privy to this, and I never thought of that as being the same word as the privy. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
I know.
To me, in my mind, they're not related at all, but
that's funny.
Are they?
I know.
I don't know if I've ever thought of those two as the same word either. That's really funny.
Yeah.
And then there's also the Privy Council, which got me. I used to read that in history, which was specifically the British government having like this sort of secret council and stuff, which is also weird because I never thought of that, but that makes sense too. It's private council.
So then you're basically saying, when you're saying I'm going to the privy, you're saying I'm going to like the private area.
Yeah, exactly.
Things happen.
I know, but that's really interesting. I wonder when not privy to this came into, because that's commonly used.
Yeah.
I'm not privy to it. Yeah.
Yeah. But privy as an adjective comes from the 1300s, they're saying, which I didn't really realize. Mm. That's really interesting. Mm. Not privy to this is that old. I didn't realize that at all. But I would use not privy to this commonly, more commonly. I would not use privy as going to the bathroom.
Yeah.
That's my interesting thing, I think.
I say the bathroom.
Yeah, of course. Probably why we didn't bring it up in the first place. But, you know, once a couple people did, obviously, that's something that we hear. I want to mention another email I got from Ellen, who the second part of the email is probably more interesting, but she did ask why men started saying, I need to see a man about a dog, when they needed to go to the bathroom. Which is a good question.
I have no idea. Now I have to do.
Does it make any sense whatsoever? No.
I thought it was, I need to hear. I always heard it as, I need to see a man about a horse.
Yeah, I've heard that too. Yes. I've heard it both ways. Yeah.
I could give you the answer right now.
Oh, okay.
The earliest confirmed publication is the 1866 play Flying Scud, in which a character knowingly...
Wait a minute, wait, Flying what?
Scud, S-C-U-D. In which a character knowingly breezes past a difficult situation saying, excuse me, Mr. Quill, I can't stop. I've got to see a man about a dog. And then it was commonly used, what Kathy said, during Prohibition, to refer to the consumption or purchase of alcoholic beverages.
Oh.
Then Cary Grant, I've watched Bringing Up Baby, I don't know how many times.
Yeah.
Cary Grant says it.
Yeah. That's why I knew it as a horse, not a dog, right?
They're saying here.
By the way, I like Ellen. Ellen, you're giving us a lot of fun right now.
Uh-huh.
She actually had a second part to her email. She mentioned something that her mother used to say. She said her mother grew up in rural central Nebraska in the 1930s. And when she was like surprised or annoyed or something, you know, people would typically say something like, I swear. Well, her mom wasn't apparently even allowed to say, I swear. She would say, I swan, S-W-A-N.
Yeah.
Oh, you've heard
that's
this?
I always heard it as Southern, though. Like, I swan. That's a horrible Southern accent. I apologize to anyone from the South.
She says, Ellen says she looked it up, and it's something you hear pretty much only in the Midwest. This is not something that I've ever heard.
Interesting. I have.
Actually, I've heard here, I'm looking it up, I've heard it also, it's attributed to Appalachian Southwestern as well as Southern
Appalachian.
U.S.
Appalachian.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I always say Appalachian, and I know.
I know, but
it's also in a thing, it's a Southern thing. Colorful Southern phrases and their origins. So it does seem to be.
Because Nebraska, obviously, not Southern.
No, that's interesting.
Yeah.
They say here, what I'm looking at says it likely originated from the dialectical phrase, I shall warrant.
I swan.
That seems dubious to me.
Yeah.
Which was I swanny, then I swan.
Yeah, I don't know. That one really seems... That seems like one of those, like, sort of, you know, posh being, you know,
everything. Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah, no, everything I'm seeing says that. I shall warrant. I swar. I swan.
I see that originally from Northern English or Scottish expression. I shall warrant ye. I don't know. Maybe it is.
Yeah,
and then
maybe.
Spoken quickly, I shall warrant ye, I swan ye, swan.
Why is this guy drunk saying this?
Well, he's going to get a dog, like the other thing, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
That bothers me, but who knows?
Yeah. I want to look more into it. Ellen, thank you. I want to keep checking now. That fascinates me. It really does. Okay, part two of the OT's email is, he said that he loved the eponym silhouette, you know what the silhouette is, which we were actually going to talk about, but we ran out of time. That's why we did not.
Okay.
But he was saying how the word silhouette was derived from the name of Étienne de Silhouette, a French finance minister who in 1759 was forced by France's credit crisis to impose severe economic demands upon the French people, particularly the wealthy. So his name, because it was so austere, became synonymous with doing anything cheaply. So those outline cutouts, a silhouette, was a cheap way of doing an appearance. So you didn't get a real portrait, but you got like the outline of your head.
But we did a little digging, and that may be true, but it could just be the other people say, well, it's just because he was briefly in office, and therefore, and during that brief tenure, he decorated a chateau with these portraits, so they just picked it up because of that, which is a little more dull, but that's that probably makes sense, too. And it was cheap way to make a likeness of someone, so then maybe they're talking about him being like a petty economies that he was using. He wasn't really like listening to the nobles who wanted to spend big money, you know, who knows really. There's a lot of debate about this.
I don't really think about silhouettes anymore. I mean, as an art thing.
It's funny because I got a old book from the 1800s, early 1800s. And in there was this really cool silhouette. And I never really liked them until I saw that. They're really kind of cool. And they're really detailed, a lot of them. They're really beautiful.
I just remember them as a kid. Some kids I knew had a couple that their parents, I guess, had paid for of them.
Do you remember those kids' books we used to read, the biographies? They all had silhouettes in them. Do you remember those?
On the cover. Yeah. I do remember them.
Oh, but also silhouette, apparently, I didn't know this. It's apparently a Basque name, which is really interesting because Basque is like this weird, mysterious language from, you know, Southern Europe, Cathy's, north of Cathy in Spain in particular. And the name would have been really originally something like Zuleta, which is interesting.
Oh, okay.
And it means hole. Zulo means hole, which is not cave, which is a possibility.
The Basque is odd because they have a lot of X's that always throw me.
But is the X pronounced?
It's pronounced ch.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Like we get pinchos is like, you know, a tapa where it's like on a skewer thing. And a pincho in Basque area or closer to there is a pinksto, it's spelled. And when we first were traveling, we're like, what's a pinksto?
Oh, that's interesting.
It's very strange. Wow. Yeah. And now I'm going to wax philosophical for 2 seconds.
Oh,
this
lovely.
Was the thing I told Ross about. I saw online the phrase, I'm going to wane philosophical. And I thought it was absolutely brilliant. And I was like, I want to find out more. Whoever that person was, I applaud you. I just thought, this is great. I did.
So what would that be, waning philosophical? Would that be making...
Getting away from it.
Yeah, making things more practical and less...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're basically saying, like, to hell with that, you know, like, uppity, you know.
But it is interesting, though, because we don't ever say that. We never say, I'm going to wane this or that. We say wax, definitely. But we don't do the opposite.
Wax poet. You wax poetic.
Yeah, you don't wane poetic and get into prose or something, you know?
Well, that's what that started the whole thing. I was telling Rose, I started looking up, at like, where did wax come from? Because, I mean, I know it's the moon. The moon waxes and wanes.
Sure.
But, like, why? Like, it used to mean, apparently, just to grow or increase. You didn't use it only with the moon. But then I looked up, and this surprised me. It was a list of how the most common, in order of frequency, words with wax. Wax eloquent was number one in contemporary American, which I didn't think. Wax enthusiastic.
What? Really?
That I've heard.
Wax euphoric. I've never heard that.
I don't know that I've heard any of these.
Wax indignant. These now are in order.
It sounds like these are in alphabetical order to me.
Oh, they are. But they say, oh my God.
Kathy, yes, they are.
Okay. Well, the other ones in no particular order, except for alphabetical, were wax nostalgic, wax philosophical, wax poetic, wax professional, I've never heard.
No.
Wax rhapsodic, and wax sentimental.
You know, really,
yeah,
wax
really...
philosophical and wax poetic are the only two that I really ever hear.
Same with me.
Yeah.
What interested me, though, is the verb comes from to grow bigger or greater. Wax, it comes from an early Proto-Indo-European word, Proto-Germanic, and then from there earlier even to that. And there is an English word that is related to wax that you would not guess. Can you guess it? Let's see. I don't think you will, but I'm just asking you. There are probably others as well, but this one just popped into my head. And I realized, my gosh, as we were talking, I thought it must be related. And it is.
No.
Okay, augment.
Augment, really? I mean, obviously, that the meaning I understand.
Yeah, but how does it...
Well, the wax goes back to Proto-Indo-European, the very early language our great-great ancestors of most Europeans have. And the word was aug, or oweg, like that. Mm-hmm. And then in Greek, the W fell off and it became auxane, which is in ancient Greek is to augment. And then it came into English as augment from Latin. So it's related. And then wach became wax in the other part of the breakdown. Isn't that cool?
Wow.
It's confusing, too.
No, but what gets you with all these things is like the Sanskrit it's related to is vaxayati or vaxayati. Mm-hmm. And it's just weird how like they can trace these words back. And like, yeah. If you told me vaxayati, when you go, is that related to wax or to augment? I'd go, no, obviously not. But it is.
Yeah.
I just have to throw in, because I get a chance to like quote Groucho. So when we did our list of waxing, there was also, which I found, waxing wroth, which you don't see at all anymore, but that was to grow irate. And in horse feathers,
wow.
Groucho is the college president, and someone runs to him and says, the dean is furious. He's waxing wroth. And Groucho says, is Roth out there too? Tell Roth to wax the dean. I had to do that. I bow before Groucho at all times. Uh-huh.
Okay, now, Fletcher, we have a really fun little pronunciation quiz.
Oh, lovely.
Which we haven't done for a while.
Yeah.
No. And these are going to kill you.
Yeah.
These are in a language that comes from the UK, but it's not English. It's a place called Wales.
Oh, God.
And the language is Welsh.
Oh, God. Okay. This will be good.
I don't think we should have told him, Russ. I think we should have just given him the first one.
Oh, I think he would see it instantly and know it. But okay.
Yeah, I'd probably recognize that it was Welsh pretty quickly. But I'm actually glad we're doing this because I've never had any idea how to say most Welsh things.
Okay, we're going to give you a little quiz. We're going to ask you the first word. Then we're going to give you some rules, and then you can spell out the next words, and you're going to get them all right,
okay.
We're sure.
All right, great.
We gave you a short one to start.
Okay. Well, if you know anything about Welsh, and you don't have to know much, but if you know anything, you know that most of these words are just made of W's and L's. The first word is C-W-M. Clearly, I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm going to say it's something like coim.
Not bad.
Okay.
It's usually more like coom.
Coom. Coom. I don't know why I always imagined the W was like an oi sound.
The W is actually, okay, we're going to give you now some rules before we ask you the others, okay?
Okay.
Okay, here are the rules. Why don't you read them out, Fletcher?
Okay, sure. W, as we just learned, is often an oo sound, as in C-W-T-C-H, which I guess would be cooch.
Yes.
Okay.
It's not.
But it's more, I think it's more like that.
Well,
yeah.
which we're about to learn, because C-H is a guttural sound, as in the Scottish loch. So C-W-T.
That was nicely done.
Yeah. C-W-T-C-H might be more like cooch.
I'm looking it up now. That's an interesting, Kathy, we should have checked that one. Because Kathy and I are not, we're not fluent
no,
Welsh
yeah,
speakers
we
yet.
We should, yeah, apologies to the people who actually know Welsh. Yeah. U, the letter U, is often an E sound, an E-E sound.
Yes.
As in S-U-T, which I guess would be seat. the double D, D-D, is a T-H sound. That I might have known.
I'm gonna add one thing. This okay. is like a we just the couch would be couch, not couch. Whatever
okay.
we did.
Okay.
It would have a CH sound at the end. We've just learned something here, gang.
Okay. All right. And then LL, like we begin with Lloyd, is a distinct lateral sound created by placing the tongue behind the top teeth and blowing air out the sides. Is that sort of like...
Yes, try it, Fletcher.
Like...
Yes, good.
Lloyd.
Good.
Is that how you'd say it?
I was listening to a wonderful Welsh woman showing you how to pronounce it,
mm-hmm.
and Fletcher did a really good job. Okay. I mean, it sounded a lot like she was saying. She also said you could also try sugar, but like don't say the sh part, but put your tongue where you're going to about to say sugar, and then instead blow out on the sides.
Say Lloyd.
Yeah. Say Lloyd.
That didn't work for me. I sound like Snagglepuss. It didn't work for me.
The letter Y at the beginning or in the middle of a word in Welsh is usually pronounced like a schwa sound, like the unstressed the as in above. Examples include the word YN, which is in. So YN would be more like un, and
yes.
YR would be like, and that yes. that translates to the.
We're gonna get into trouble. There's gonna be some Welsh speaker next week.
Really
gonna
be like,
you guys are massacring the language. It's horrible.
I think this might be even worse than when we did the Irish pronunciations.
I know. Yeah. I'm worried.
Oh, one thing, Fletcher. Too, we didn't put this in yet. Just before we go into the next word, but we have F and FF. If you've noticed a lot of times,
sure.
there's also the LL and there's also an FF. What do you know what the those would be or not?
No, no, of course not. I just assumed that it was an F sound of, you know.
Okay, I didn't know this. FF is F.
FF is F, but regular F is
V.
Oh, okay. Okay. I can see that.
I just know as a kid, I loved the Lloyd Alexander books. They were based on Welsh mythology.
Right.
And there was a bard and his name was Fluter Flam. And I still reread those books. But as a kid, I just love Fluter Flam. The double F as a child looking at it all the time, it's just like, wow, this is just great.
I liked those a lot too.
Incidentally, bard is actually a Welsh word. So it's very apropos. Yeah, it's from the Welsh.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get going, Fletcher. Let's do the next one. Pronounce it.
So now we're I'm going back to these words. I am going to do my best. I'll spell them out for people, even though it won't make a lot of sense unless you do know Welsh. The first one is BWLCHGWYN. All right, I'm gonna keep looking down at these rules while I try to do this. Let's see. The CH is a guttural sound, so sort of like Burgoyne. Burgoyne.
That's close. They have here. They have here. It's Burgoyne.
Gwyn.
Burgoyne.
Gwyn. Yeah, I could see that. Okay, Burgoyne.
Because it's the WY again.
Burgoyne.
Gwyn.
Yeah.
I do apologize to everybody for this.
Yeah. I mean, this is probably terrible to a native speaker, but we'll try. Let's move along here. Fletcher, the next word should be easy.
Okay.
And we can all agree on this one.
The next one,
It's also yes in Welsh.
Yes.
Oh, YDW. So I guess it would be like ado.
Yes. Good.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Nothing much ado here. Yep.
And finally, this is a fun word. It means fun or stirring mood.
I like that.
I like this one.
HWYL. Let's see. I don't see anything weird about H's. So I guess it would be something like hool.
Yes. Good.
HWYL.
Yeah.
Because again, I'll say again, W is sort of like an oo, and the Y is sort of like a schwa. So hool. Hool.
They have hool here.
Hool.
But.
Yeah. We're doing our
best. That's good, though. We're fine.
Yep, but who's to argue with this? I think we're going to find out next week, but we'll see.
I'm frightened, Toto, which is spelled T-Y-T-W-E.
Welsh has not been amazingly productive in terms of English. The English basically, well, before the English, they were sort of conquered and... they were kept sort of down. Mm-hmm. Welsh is now becoming more popular in Wales. and people are now learning it again, and it's becoming...
Margaret's family, that her part of her family, her brother-in-law and married a Welsh woman. They all the kids speak Welsh. It's like they're Welsh.
Yeah, it's really cool because they're saying now half of Welsh speakers consider themselves fluent, which is really kind of cool. I'm sure you've heard this as a common statement all around the world, but two Welsh people are talking on a train and some person goes, "Why can't you speak in English? You know, what's wrong with you foreigners?" And this is in England. They were speaking Welsh. Mm-hmm. They said, "Well, you know, we've been here for 4,000 years, so you know, shut up."
Right. Where'd you come from?
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, we have some Welsh loan words, Fletcher.
Like my last name, as a matter of fact.
Fletcher? We should have put that in.
My last name.
Oh.
Powell, Kathy. Unless his name is Fletcher Fletcher.
Apparently.
Hey, Fletcher Fletcher, how are you?
Although that would be like flute or flam, sort of, but not quite. The first word is one that Ross and I both love because of Narnia, which I've recently been talking about, is coracle. Do you know what coracle means, Fletcher?
Coracle.
A coracle.
No. How do you spell that?
Coracle.
No, I don't know what a coracle is. Interesting.
In Narnia, it's like Reepicheep, the mouse, sails in a coracle to the end of the world.
Mm, okay.
So it's a boat covered with skins. It's made of wicker, like one of those light frames, and it's covered with skins. And it's used mainly on the coast of Wales and part of Ireland. But the original spelling from the Welsh is nothing like coracle. It was corwgl.
Cool.
Which is...
I like that.
Yeah.
Fletcher, I want to throw in this new word here. Do you know how to spell your name in Welsh?
Oh.
Your last name, Kathy, not Fletcher.
Thank you.
Well, so I'd always heard it was actually like a truncation of Ap Howell, which is...
You got it.
Yeah. I still don't know how, how would you spell that? I mean, I don't know how the app would be other than AP.
It is. It means son of.
Howl. I mean, maybe like H-W-L.
Close. It's H-Y-W-E-L.
Oh, Howl. Yeah. Okay.
And it's the son of Howl. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
cool. Means eminent or distinguished.
Yes. Well, of
course
it does.
Which we always thought. Yes.
I always liked app. Something. I always thought that looked cool.
I know.
For me, it's the Prydain book. So that's where I got it all from. But
okay. The next one is
the word is gull, G-U-L-L, as in a shorebird. Can you figure out what might be the Welsh spelling of that, which is why they think that we got it from gull.
Gull. I mean, that's just based on the letters and what we've done here. That seems like it would be like G-Y-L. But I
G-Y-W-L, very close.
G-Y-W-L. Yeah. See, the Y's and the W's next to each other, that confuses me a little bit.
Yeah, it's G-Y-W-L-A-N would be the Welsh, which is interesting.
Okay.
Let's finish with penguin. This is my favorite.
Penguin?
Penguin,
oh,
yes.
Oh, wow.
Can you guess the etymology here? This was interesting because my wife, she instantly knew the pen part, which I didn't know, but she said... Because of Pendragon, she knew what pen meant.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay.
Which do you know?
No. I don't know what the pen means in Pendragon or in Penguin.
Okay, I didn't either. It means head.
Head.
I was miming it.
Yeah.
Did you know it, Kath? You knew it.
Yeah,
I did.
Well, again, because I read all these mythology-based stuff as a kid. So yeah, but I never thought of Penguin being pen.
Yeah,
Gwyn.
No, head I didn't the, either.
Head of a Gwyn. What's a Gwyn?
Gwyn is white.
Oh, white head. Huh.
Yeah. Like Guinevere is like, you know, white lady, I guess.
I didn't know that either until you just said it. That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Cool.
How do you pronounce? I say penguin, and I know that's wrong. It's penguin.
Oh, penguin.
Right?
I say more like an ing sound. Penguin.
I say it too. I say penguin too. I think I say like penguin. Yeah.
Penguin.
Yeah. I don't say like penguin. That's all. Because it technically would be penguin.
Yeah. In Welsh, if you're in Wales, but we're not in Wales. The one thing that got me was apparently it means, you know, it means white head, but penguins don't have white heads, which is a problem. So they finally figured it out. They're thinking it applied to the great auk, which is now extinct, but that had white spots in front of its eyes, even though the head was black.
Mm-hmm.
There's this other etymology. Did you see this, Ross?
I did.
That possibly it came from the Latin pinguis, which means fat.
I know. I did that too. Like, okay. And they're saying it was like a fat goose, which is very possible.
Yeah. I like penguin.
I do too. Yeah. I like that better. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to quickly go run to the washroom.
Okay. I'm going to go to the privy.
Euphemism. Oh, my.
You're Saying It Wrong is part of the NPR network and is produced in the studios of KMUW in Wichita, Kansas by me, Fletcher Powell. Kathy Petras records from her home in Armilla, Spain. Ross Petras from his home in Toronto, Ontario in Canada. Torin Anderson composed our theme music. Our digital team is Beth Golay and Carly Cooper. Carly Cooper is also our video editor. You can subscribe to our channel on YouTube. You can find all of our past episodes by subscribing to the You're Saying It Wrong podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, or by visiting us at kmuw.org. If you have a question for Kathy and Ross, if you'd like to suggest a topic or you just want to reach out, you can email me at powell@kmuw.org. or email them at kandrpetras@gmail.com. You can also record a voice memo of yourself asking your question. You might get your voice heard on air. Or you can download the KMUW app and press the Talk to Us button. You can find Kathy and Ross's books pretty much anywhere you get books, and a handful of them are also available on audiobook, read by the authors themselves. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week.
Each morning, it's a new opportunity, a chance to start fresh. Up First from NPR makes each morning an opportunity to learn and to understand. Choose to join the world every morning with Up First, a podcast that hands you everything going on across the globe and down the street, all in 15 minutes or less. Start your day informed and anew with Up First by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts.